Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for coming. Today, Arnie's message is going to be on Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 16. And I'm going to go ahead and read this both in Spanish and English, and I'm going to start in Spanish. Buenos días, hermanos y hermanas. Hoy, nuestro mensaje va a estar en Hechos, capítulo 16, comenzando en versículo 16. Y primero lo voy a leer en español y después en inglés. Aconteció que mientras íbamos a la oración, nos salió al encuentro una muchacha que tenía espíritu de adivinación, la cual daba gran ganancia a sus amos adivinando. Esta, siguiendo a Pablo y a nosotros, daba voces diciendo: Estos hombres son siervos del Dios Altísimo, quienes os anuncian el camino de salvación. Y esto lo hacía por muchos días, más desagradando a Pablo, este se volvió y dijo al espíritu: Te mando en el nombre de Jesucristo que salgas de ella. Y salió en aquella misma hora. Pero viendo sus amos que había salido la esperanza de su ganancia, prendieron a Pablo y a Silas y los trajeron al foro ante las autoridades. Y presentándolos a los magistrados, dijeron: Estos hombres, siendo judíos, alborotan nuestra ciudad y enseñan costumbres que no nos es lícito recibir ni hacer, pues somos romanos. Y se agolpó el pueblo contra ellos. Y los magistrados, rascándoles las ropas, ordenaron azotarles con varas. Después de haberles azotado mucho, los echaron en la cárcel, mandando el carcelero que los guardase con seguridad, el cual, recibido este mandato, los metió en el calabozo de más adentro y les aseguró los pies en el cepo. Pero a medianoche, orando Pablo y Silas, cantaban himnos a Dios, y los presos los oían. Entonces sobrevino de repente un gran terremoto, de tal manera que los cimientos de la cárcel se sacudían, y al instante se abrieron todas las puertas, y las cadenas de todos se soltaron. Despertando el carcelero y viendo abiertas las puertas de la cárcel, sacó la espada y se iba a matar, pensando que los presos habían huido. Mas Pablo clamó a gran voz diciendo: No te hagas ningún mal, pues todos estamos aquí. Él entonces, pidiendo luz, se precipitó adentro y temblando se postró a los pies de Pablo y de Silas. Y sacándolos les dijo: Señores, ¿qué debo hacer para ser salvo? Ellos dijeron: Cree en el Señor Jesucristo y serás salvo tú y tu casa. Y le hablaron la palabra del Señor a él y a todos los que estaban en su casa. Y él, tomándolos en aquella misma hora de la noche, les lavó las heridas y enseguida se bautizó él con todos los suyos. Y llevándolos a su casa, les puso la mesa y se regocijó con toda su casa de haber creído a Dios. All right, in English now. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave woman who had a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing great profit to her masters by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us and cried out repeatedly, saying, These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation. Now she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was suddenly gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, These men, Jews as they are causing our city trouble, and they are proclaiming customs that are not lawful for us to accept or to practice, since we are Romans. The crowd joined in an attack against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of God to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and was overjoyed, since he had become a believer in God, together with his whole household.
Oh, I need this. Thank you. Nervous. Buenos días. Good morning. Hermanos y hermanas. Hermanos en Cristo. Esto ha sido un desafío. Esto ha sido un reto para mí, el tratar de hacer cuatro bautizos, preparar un mensaje en inglés y en español, y estar limitado a un tiempo. So, it's been a challenge for me to do four baptisms to help them, get them ready, and prepare a message in Spanish and in English. So, when I finished my message, I had to go through it several times. I said, "Nope, take this out, leave this, take this out." And so I ended up with 10 pages. No. So, lo que voy a hacer es, voy a predicar primero en español una sección, y luego la otra sección otra vez la voy a predicar en inglés. Y que el Señor me ayude. So, I'm going to be preaching one section in Spanish, and then I will be translating myself in English, and I hope God may help me. I guess I need to pray. Señor Jesucristo, solamente estoy aquí para servirte, soy un siervo tuyo, y pido que tú me ayudes a proclamar tu palabra de una manera entendible y que tú seas glorificado. Lord Jesus, I'm here, I'm just a servant of yours, and I want to honor you with this message, and the whole message, Lord, the whole service will be for your glory, and I pray that you will help me, and you will be glorified, and people would be either convicted of their sin or blessed, and both. Lord, I just commend myself in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Estos bautizos traen a mí memorias, porque yo también fui bautizado aquí junto con mi esposa. Después fuimos casados y aquí comenzamos nuestro caminar cristiano en esta iglesia. Pocos años después, empacamos todas nuestras chivas, todos nuestros tiliches, y nos embarcamos a otro país muy lejano, alrededor de la cuadra. Comenzamos con un pequeño grupo aquí en la casa, a un lado del estacionamiento. Éramos, creo, 7, 8 personas, y nos reuníamos allí en esta casa. Después nos cambiamos al edificio que ahora estamos usando. Aquí le llaman el Foothill Building, la iglesia evangélica. Y como ven ustedes, nuestra iglesia está compuesta de varias nacionalidades, varias naciones. Unos han nacido aquí, otros en México, otros en Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Colombia y Portugal. No mencioné a alguien. Todos los hemos dicho. Gracias. Esto nos hace pensar a nosotros, me hace pensar a mí como en Juan 3:16. Porque de tal manera amó Dios a todas las naciones. Las naciones están aquí, al mundo, que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en Él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. En los últimos 2 años alrededor, hemos tenido, creo, 21 o 22 profesiones de fe. En un minuto, por favor, si están aquí todos, les pediré que se levanten. Creo que están unos allá atrás también. It's a pleasure to stand here before you and sharing our joy with you. These baptisms bring memories when my wife and I were baptized back there. Later, we were married here. A few years later, we packed up all our stuff, and together with Dave Reeve, we decided to go far away to this country, around the block, just a block away from here. We started with a small group right here at this house, right next to the parking lot. There were like 7, 8, 9 people. And as time went by, we moved to the Foothill building. We were in the back room, and then later to another room, and then Fairhaven said, you could use the whole building on Sundays now. I said, yes, now we can have Sunday school meetings. Our church is made up of various nations, some from here, from Mexico, Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Colombia, Venezuela, and a dear brother from Portugal. We are like Pico de Gallo salsa. A great mix of ingredients. Just mentioning this, all these nations brings to mind John 3:16. For God so loved all the nations, the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. In about 2 years, around 2 years or so, we have had 21, 22 professions of faith. Amen. Now, el título de este mensaje es Dios salva familias. Quería poner otros títulos, pero este fue muy conciso y me gustó. Y antes de tocar el pasaje que Joshua leyó, debo mencionar un par de historias. ¿Conocen ustedes a Cornelio, capítulo 10 del libro de Hechos? En Hebreo, en Hechos 10, capítulo 10, versículos 1 y 2, dice que había un oficial del ejército romano llamado Cornelio, quien era un capitán del regimiento italiano, piadoso y temeroso de Dios y que oraba regularmente con toda su casa, y que hacía muchas limosnas al pueblo y oraba a Dios siempre. Y a través de varios eventos, Dios llama a Pedro y le dice: Pedrito, tengo allá un hombre y su familia. Quiero que les vayas y le hables de mí. Pero Señor, es que ellos, no pongas peros. Es que ellos no son como nosotros. No, ¿recuerdas que yo te dije que yo te iba a ser pescador de hombres? Sí, yo no te dije cuáles. Hombres de todas las naciones. Así que ve y habla con Cornelio, porque yo he trabajado en su corazón, yo he estado trabajando en su familia y quiero que tú les hables de mí, que en mí hay perdón de pecados. ¿Y qué fue lo que pasó? Obedeció. Pedro fue, se sorprendió que a ellos también Dios les había dado el arrepentimiento a la salvación. Él le compartió las buenas nuevas de salvación a Pedro, a Cornelio, a su familia, a sus siervos, a sus amigos. ¿Y qué sucedió? Creyeron en el Señor Jesucristo, él y toda su casa, todo su hogar, toda su familia, todos sus amigos, siervos. ¿Qué estaba haciendo Dios? Dios ya estaba trabajando en ellos. Dios ya estaba trabajando en Cornelio y en su familia. Solamente necesitaba un vocero. Pedro, ve, háblales de mí. Te están esperando. Dios estaba trabajando. This story is also to support the title of my message. And I must add a couple of stories before I go to Acts 16. Cornelius. I know Fair Haven has already gone through the book of Acts. Hopefully I can add a little bit to it. There was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family, mention his, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. He was a great man, but he was a man of prayer too, a devout man, a generous man. You see, God was working in his life, in Cornelius' life, in his family, in his servants. And God said, Peter, through a series of events, I said, Peter, go and talk to Cornelius and his family. But God, they are not the same as we are. No, 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 no. You go talk to them. You go talk to him. Remember when I said to you that I was going to make you a fisher of men? I didn't say which man. I said a fisher of men of all nations, and he's one of the other nations. So go and talk to him and all his family. I am working in his life and in his family, in his friends. Go. But no, go. And he went, and he preached the good news of salvation to them. That in Jesus there was forgiveness of sin. That if they repented and accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, him and his household would be saved. And they did. Second story. Segunda historia. Lidia. El apóstol Pablo, a través de recibir la comisión directa de Jesús de llevar el evangelio a los gentiles junto con su compañero Silas, se dispone para su segundo viaje misionero. Y así el Espíritu Santo lo guía a Filipos. Hechos 16:13 dice: el día de reposo nos alejamos un poco de la ciudad y fuimos a la orilla de un río donde se estaban congregando unas mujeres para orar. Orar, otra vez, mencionado aquí. Y nos sentamos a hablar con las mujeres que se habían congregado allí. Allí se encontró con una mujer llamada Lidia, que adoraba. Escuchamos estas palabras. Había oración. Había adoración. Y el Señor le abrió el corazón para que estuviese atenta a lo que Pablo decía, que en Jesús había perdón de pecados. ¿Y qué sucedió? Ella y su familia creyeron e inmediatamente fueron bautizados. No esperaron. Dos acciones se mencionan aquí. Había oración y había adoración. Dios estaba trabajando en la vida de Lidia, de su familia y quizás otros siervos en su casa. Y le dice a Pablo: ve a ella también. Háblales de mí, que en mí hay perdón de pecados. Dios estaba salvando familias antes y está salvando familias hoy. Dios desea que tú seas parte de la familia de Dios. Si no lo eres, Dios desea que hoy seas parte de la familia de Dios y no te quedes excluido. No te excluyas tú mismo. ¿No quiere usted formar parte de la familia de Dios? Second story, Lydia. The Apostle Paul, after being commissioned by God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, together with Silas, he prepares for his second missionary journey. And thus, the Holy Spirit guides them to the city of Philippi. Before that, in Acts 16:13, we read, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. And there, they met Lydia, who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to be attentive to the things spoken by Paul, the gospel. Lydia, I know you worship God, but you need to have a relationship with God. And I'm offering this to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness and repent of your sins, and you will be saved." God does. Familia or family means her immediate family, her relatives, and everyone under her household. Prayer and worship are also mentioned here. In Acts 18:8, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord and were baptized. Another family. God saved full families, and he has not changed. He is still saving families. And God wants you. If you're not part of God's family, he wants you. He desires for you to be part of his family. Wouldn't you want to do that? Wouldn't you want to be part of God's family? Why do you exclude yourself if you are not part of his family yet? Ahora vamos al pasaje. Now I'm going to go to Acts 16 in Spanish. Pablo tiene un incidente con una mujer endemoniada, con un espíritu de adivinación, esas mujeres que están leyendo allá el tarot y las cartas, no sé qué cochinadas allá. El horóscopo, eso es pecado. Ella era controlada por una fuerza demoníaca. Aparentemente la gente pensaba que ella tenía los poderes de Dios para predecir el futuro, para predecir los eventos del futuro, y pues muchas personas iban a buscar qué hay para mí en el futuro. Y por esos servicios ellos pagaban muy buenas y altas cantidades de dinero. Y en el camino a la oración, otra vez, oración, Pablo se encuentra con esta mujer, y el demonio dentro de ella los reconoce y les grita: "Estos hombres son siervos de Dios Altísimo que están proclamando el camino de la salvación." Y lo hizo así por muchos días. Estaba enfadando a Pablo y a Silas. El demonio estaba declarando: "Estos hombres son siervos del Dios Altísimo que están proclamando el camino de la salvación." Los mismos demonios sabían quiénes eran ellos que proclamaban el camino de la salvación. Usted podría decir: "Yo no creo lo que dice ese predicador, yo no creo lo que enseñan aquí, al menos crea al demonio, crea lo que el demonio está diciendo." Pero si no nos crees a nosotros y no crees ni a los demonios, usted está en una situación muy grave, usted está en peligro. El demonio solo dijo la mitad de la verdad. Él dijo: "Están proclamando el camino de la salvación." Pero la otra verdad no dijo: "Y pongan su fe en el Señor Jesucristo." ¿Por qué? Porque el demonio no quería que ellos pusieran su fe en Jesucristo. Nomás les dijo: Ellos están enseñando el camino de la salvación, pero no les dijo, y pongan su fe en Jesucristo. ¿Ok? ¿Por qué? Porque los demonios no quieren que ustedes pongan su fe en Jesucristo. Muchos viven sabiendo que Jesús es la salvación, pero no lo aceptan. Y ahí es donde los quiere atrapados el demonio. Y quieren que ustedes estén cómodos así allí. No es solamente saber que Jesús es el camino, pero también aceptar el camino, poner su fe en el camino que es Jesucristo. Y también necesitamos proclamar la palabra de Dios a tal manera y con tal intensidad que los demonios nos conozcan y que seamos famosos en el infierno. No se preocupen de los demonios, porque mayor es el que está en nosotros que el que está en el mundo. Now we go to the passage that Nathan read. Joshua. That's your fault, buddy. a good one. Paul has an incident with this demon-possessed woman with a spirit of divination. Very similar to those people who read the tarot cards, the horoscopes, and all those filthy things. Don't go to them. It is sinful. If you want to know the future, just trust God. He's the God of the future. And this lady, she was controlled by a demonic force. And it seemed that people thought that this lady was speaking on behalf of God, and they believed her. They thought she was a normal woman who had these supernatural powers to predict the future. She was a fortune teller. And when people were coming to her and asked and solicit her services, they were paying some hefty amounts of money. She was like the goose that laid golden eggs for her masters. And the demon, he recognizes Paul and Silas. And what does he say? These men are servants of the Most High God who announce to you the way of salvation, the way to be saved. You could be sitting here and say, I don't believe what this guy is preaching. I don't believe what Arne is telling us. I don't believe what this church is teaching. But man, at least believe the demons. They're saying, he's saying the truth, that they are proclaiming the way of salvation. But notice this. The demon only said half truth. He did not say, if you put your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. Why? Because many people just, they know and they are content with this, that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and they remain there. They don't take the step in saying, Jesus, I know you are the way, the truth, and the life, and I want to put my faith in you. The demon is not saying that. And if you are there, you are trapped by the demons. You need to move on and trust in Jesus. Otherwise, it's just head knowledge. Also, brothers, we need to proclaim the word of God with such intensity that we will be famous in hell. That the demons will recognize us, that we are the servants of God proclaiming the word of God. And if you don't believe anything, let me tell you. You can live without Jesus, but you cannot afford to live without him. You cannot afford to die without him. You can live without Jesus, but you cannot afford to die without Christ. We should be famous in hell. The demons should know us. Don't worry about the demons, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I'm going back in Spanish to talk about Pablo being incarcerated. Pablo es encarcelado. Y Pablo estaba enfadado con este demonio que le estaba fastidiando día tras día tras día, con esta frase de que ellos son los siervos de Dios Altísimo y están proclamando el camino de la salvación. Pero también él estaba triste por el abuso de esta mujer, por sus amos, con esos negocios infernales. Y para que sus clientes, las personas que iban tras ella a pedir información del futuro, no creyeran que ella hablaba de Dios, manda al demonio en el nombre de Jesucristo que saliese de ella. Se les terminó el negocio a ellos. Y yo creo que cuando venían a solicitarle, sabían que ella no tenía sus poderes, quizás le estaban pidiendo un reembolso. Dame mi dinero, regrésame mi dinero. Entonces los amos de la mujer, enojados porque ya no les estaba produciendo los huevos de oro, traen a Pablo y a Silas y los arrastran al mercado, los arrastran a las autoridades, les rasgan las ropas y los azotan con unos palos y los echan en la cárcel. Le ponen bajo la custodia de un carcelero. Los meten en el calabozo más profundo, en un calabozo oscuro, hediondo y apestoso allí. ¿Y qué hacen ellos en medio de esas circunstancias? Están llenos de dolor, sangrando, cansados. Y en medio de esas terribles circunstancias, ¿qué hacen ellos? ¿Se quejan? No. ¿Lloran? No. ¿Qué están haciendo? Orando y alabando a Dios. Y aquí podemos aprender muchas aplicaciones. A la medianoche ellos estaban llenos de gozo. A la medianoche Pablo y Silas están orando y cantando himnos a Dios, y los presos escuchando. Quizás estaban escuchando: hay poder, poder sin igual poder en la sangre de Jesús. ¿Y qué pasa? De repente un terremoto sacude toda la cárcel, se abren las puertas, se sueltan las cadenas, y el carcelero piensa que ya todos los presos se esfumaron, se escaparon, y si se le escapaba un preso, este hombre era muerto. Y él estaba a punto de matarse y dijo, pensaba que los presos habían huido, y dice: soy hombre muerto, estoy frito, me van a hacer chicharrón, me van a cocinar y soy hombre muerto. ¿Y qué hizo? Mejor me mato yo, porque me van a torturar. Sacó la espada y se iba a matar. Saben que él está muy cerca de la salvación, ¿verdad? Porque ya sabemos toda la historia. Y Pablo interviene y le dice: no lo hagas, todos estamos aquí, no lo hagas. ¿Qué hubiera pasado si Pablo no hubiera intervenido? Él estaría muerto. ¿Qué habría pasado? Pregunta a los cristianos creyentes: ¿qué habría pasado si Dios te hubiera desenchufado de este mundo un día antes de tu salvación? ¿Lo ha pensado? ¿Qué habría pasado si un día te hubiera desconectado de este mundo? ¿Qué pasa si usted todavía no ha puesto su fe en Cristo? ¿Qué creen que pase si Dios jala el cordón de su vida ahorita y lo desenchufa, lo desconecta hoy? ¿Lo ha pensado? El carcelero, postrado en sus rodillas, le dice: Señor, ¿qué debo, señores, ¿qué debo hacer para ser salvo? En un momento estaba preocupado por su vida y ahora en otro momento está preocupado por su alma. Ya no estaba preocupado por si lo mataban, él estaba preocupado por su alma, dónde iba a pasar la eternidad. Y le dice: ¿qué debo hacer para ser salvo? Nada. Nada. ¿Por qué? Porque ya todo lo hizo Jesús. No pueden añadir ninguna obra a la obra de Jesús. La obra de Jesús ya está completa. No puedes añadir nada. Lo que tú necesitas hacer, mi amigo carcelero, es creer en Jesús, confiar en Jesús, pedirle perdón a Jesús, y Jesús te va a perdonar, te va a redimir y te va a hacer parte de la familia de Dios. Tú necesitas confiar. Tú necesitas arrepentirte y ser perdonado de tus pecados. Cree en el Señor Jesucristo y serás salvo tú y tu casa. Tú y tu casa, otra vez, tu casa. Y le hablaron la palabra del Señor a él y todos los que estaban en su casa. Y él tomándolos en aquella misma hora de la noche. Gaby, Ivania, Adrián, Francisco, ¿estaba esta agua fría? Allá estaba peor, a medianoche. No la calentaron. Y le hablaron la palabra de Dios a él y a todos los que estaban en su casa. Y les puso a la mesa y comieron. Es lo que vamos a hacer nosotros después, ¿no? ¿Qué estaba haciendo Dios? Dios estaba trabajando en ellos también. Y manda a Pablo: corre, habla a ellos. Going back to Paul. Paul is about to be thrown in jail. Paul is annoyed by this lady who's always nagging them day after day. And he also had compassion of this lady, of this woman, for the abuse that she was going through by her masters for their evil business. And so that no one would believe that she was speaking from God, on behalf of God, Paul commanded this lady, this demon, to just come out of here. Get out of there. In the name of Jesus, I command you, leave her. Come out of you. Come out of her. What happened? Their evil business was over. No more goose eggs. People still probably came looking for her services, and she couldn't do anything else anymore. They probably were asking for their money back. You're not the real deal. So they dragged Paul and Silas to the market, to the authorities, and accused them of uproar and unlawful practices. They ripped their clothes off, they beat them with rods and are thrown in jail, and they are placed into custody of a jailer. He throws them into the innermost dungeon and secures their feet in the stocks. Now they are chained, beaten, in great pain, in dark and in a stinking dungeon. I mean, what are you supposed to do in the middle of all these circumstances? You would expect for them to cry, complain. No, what do they do? They start praying, they start worshiping God, they start singing hymns to God. They probably were singing, there's power, power, power in the blood of Jesus. They are full of joy. Suddenly there's a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prisons were shaken, all the doors open, and the chains of all the prisoners are loose. The jailer thought that all the prisoners had fled, and he said, I'm a dead man. I'm fried. In Spanish, we say, me van a hacer chicharrones. I want to be turned into fried pork skins. Is that a good translation? And the jailer thought that all the prisoners had escaped. They were under his care. And if they knew that one prisoner had escaped, he was a dead man. He was a goner. And Paul intervenes and said, don't do any harm to you. Don't harm yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Don't kill yourself. We know that he is very close to salvation because we know the rest of the story. But what would have happened if Paul had not intervened? One time, Gene Gibson, when I was in the internship, and I know he said it here many, many times from the pulpit, but he asked me, Arnie, what would have happened if God had pulled the plug on you a day before you were saved? Whoa. From that day on, I had a different attitude towards God and in appreciation. But God intervened and saved me. Now, my question to you is, what would happen if God decides to pull the plug on you and you still haven't put your faith in Christ Jesus yet? Where are you going to end up? What if God decides to pull the plug on you? You need to put your faith in Jesus soon. And now the jailer implores to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Nothing. It's been already done. Jesus did everything on the cross. You cannot add anything to it. Otherwise, that's called religion. You cannot add anything to the work of Christ in Calvary. He finished all. He died for you. And you still haven't put your faith in Jesus? You still want to add more? You can't. You need to believe in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Repent of your sins and be forgiven. Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house. Again, your house will be saved. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And immediately he baptized him with all his people, all his household. God is in the business of saving families. He saved families back then and he's saving families today because he's God. De ayer, hoy y siempre. How do you say that? Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And always. Gracias. And he brought them into his house. He set a table for them, and he rejoiced with all his house that he had believed God. They had a potluck, and that's what we're going to be having today. It's biblical, brothers. See, God was working in this jail guard and said, Paul, I want you to go to Philippi. No, but I want to go here. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I want to go to this other place. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I got someone in Philippi that I'm working in his heart, in their hearts, and I just want you to be my voice to them. Paul, Silas, God is working in families. Hermanos, lo que por el tiempo solamente voy a decir lo que sigue en inglés. Espero que me comprendan y entiendan. You know, about 10 years ago, Grant Ferrer, you know him? We know him by Esteban Ferrer. He said, Arnie, come, I want to show you this. Read John 5:17. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. My Father works, and I work. Arnie, you just pray to God where he is working and join him. And that's been my silent personal prayer. God, who you are working in? In whose heart? Which family? Please help me to collaborate with you. And that's been my personal prayer. Help me to join you. And God has brought people to my life. And God has sent me to other families. We have had 2022 professions of faith. Between Armando, Francisco, and I, bringing these people to the Lord. We had here Adrian, his mom, they came already saved. His grandma. But Francisco, his grandpa, he made a profession of faith with Gabby's brother. The brother's wife, their son. We are talking about 3 or 4 generations there. They have not come to me and said, Arnie, what do I need to do to be saved? They just come to me and say, I am ready. I went and visited these 3 young cousins of Adrian 2 times, and I was about to leave because I had another meeting with another couple. And when I got up, they got up too, and they were just like, this is it? And I said, oh man, there's something here. Do you want to be saved? Yes, yes, yes. Do you understand what God is asking you to do? Yes, we need to accept Jesus. Okay, who wants to go first? I do. There's Jeffrey, Karina, and Alvaro. And I said, sorry, brothers, ladies first. I said, let's all kneel down. And there's prayer so beautiful. And I'm just thinking, God, who am I to experience this joy? Another couple, friends of Brian Linney. I went to their house twice. And I want to say your name, Nicolas. Or should I say it? Nicolas goes, Arnie, I am ready. I don't want to wait any longer. I don't know about you, Stephanie, but I'm ready. And Stephanie goes, I'm ready too. And they both professed Christ as the Lord and Savior. Another day, the mom and her son came after the message. I said, Arnie, my son wants to talk to you. What's up, Nick? I am ready. I know what that meant. A young lady at the beginning of the year, after Armando said a very powerful message, she comes to me and says, Arnie, I want to talk to you. I am ready. That ready word has been so frequent in my life. Some people say, I'm not ready yet. That's fine. You give me more chance to pray for you. And many others examples. What stands out from this message is worship God and pray to God. You might have family members living far away from here or close to you. Pray that God would send believers their way. And guess what? Like I have heard in some of the people who have made professions of faith, lady said, Arnie, my mom has been praying for my salvation. And here I am, the answer to proclaim God's word. You know what? There are people around you whose relatives are far away, and they are praying to send someone their way. You could be Peter. You could be Paul. You could be Silas. But we need to proclaim the word of God. And two things that stand out from this message: pray and worship and proclaim the word of God. Pray and worship Jesus Christ. Pray, you are asking. Worship, you are giving. This is where worship happens, at breaking of bread. Come to breaking of bread and worship Jesus. And pray for those people who pray to God. Say, God, I know you are working. Jesus, I know you are working. Help me discern where you are working and help me collaborate with you. Now, the word ready. Some of you may be ready and you are just postponing it. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Padre Santo, te damos gracias por este mensaje que tú has expuesto aquí. Yo solamente fui tu vaso, tu siervo. Oro para que tu palabra haya caído en corazones para animar a nosotros los creyentes y para conversión de los que todavía no han creído en ti. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this message. I just was a messenger. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who is ready, that will speak to someone who is a believer and turn and give their lives to you and accept you as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, bless us as we go home. Thank you for these four baptisms. All may be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.